have a basketball program that we all expect to compete in the Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on into the boardroom. Johnny here alongside Josh and Sam. And we have a new jersey in the rafters and a win in the Big Ten standings for Illinois. Big win against Maryland today, 76-64. Illini pull it out in the second half, and we can just kind of sigh of relief as Kofi Coburn once again just dominates a Big Ten opponent. 18 rebounds. What did he have? 23 points. Just a dominant performance despite the early foul trouble and auto benching. Kind of a crazy night with DeMar DeRozan being in the crowd and just not having Orange Crush. It was a wild night. So, guys, what's your guys' first takeaways?
It's great having Ion Kofi back under one roof. Great having DeMar there. I wish the students got to see it, but obviously just like awesome night. I mean, it was inevitable that Io's number was going to hang in the rafters. Brad said that they would, so Illinois didn't have a choice, even if it wasn't, but obviously it was. So all around, I would say, positive night.
Yeah, wonderful night. There's some like things that we could debate maybe a little bit later in the show, but I mean, a win's a win, and we have, you know, Io in the rafters. So like you guys both said, it was a pretty dominant win, and we didn't do a podcast post the Minnesota game, so two straight pretty convincing victories showing like that we have the best player in the country, followed by a week and a half long break. And I mean, I'm pretty excited for this team. Like, you were just adding in, I think this reference was made somewhere on Twitter today, but it's like you're getting a midseason acquisition of a kid who won the sixth man of the year in the Big Ten last year, halfway through your season at some point. So hopefully when Andre Curbelo comes back, we just have a dominant team. There was a point in the game where you're looking at it like, who's gonna help us when Kofi's not in the game, when he's in foul trouble? But I mean, he came back in the game and he's dominant. So as long as Kofi's on the floor, I'm pretty confident in this team.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, that was, when Kofi's been on the floor, we've been the best team I saw in Bart Torvik in the country since December 1st. So this team's definitely dominant. And now, like, just banking four wins. You had the COVID break and no rust, which really clutch. Just you're 4-0 in the Big Ten. Now you can kind of start to look down the schedule a little bit. Us as fans, maybe we don't want the team to be looking past the next game, but you're putting yourself in pole position, which is really nice. And it's nice to see us too break out of some old habits. I felt like the Maryland game today reminded me of the Maryland game in 2020 when we went up huge in the first half. We were up, I think, 14. That was that Friday night game. SVP was in the building. We were ranked hosting Maryland, who was at the top of the Big Ten. And you go on a big run in the first half, just like we did. But then you kind of squander that lead. And this team was different than that team in 2020 because we were able to take control of that game. And a lot of that had to do with Kofi, and a lot of that had to do with Trent Frazier really stepping up in the last 12 minutes of the game, finally making some shots. But it's nice to see a team that's old and mature to say, okay, you know what, like, we're going to let them have their run, but we're going to go back and really take control of this game. I think this game was really kind of defined by runs, where if you look at like KenPom, what he does is he kind of breaks the game down into quarters. And if you look at the quarters, it was like 21-9 Illinois first quarter, second quarter 25-9 Maryland, third quarter 24-16 Illinois, fourth quarter 22-14. So it was really just that one stretch where we kind of struggled, and the rest of the game we had under control.
Yeah, I think actually last year's game almost felt, I mean, like, not worse than 2020, but last year's game, they just would not stop making annoying buckets. And like, we should have been winning that game and we lost it, which is why I was kind of stressed that we went into halftime without the lead. It always feels like you don't have the lead so much longer when you go into halftime without the lead. So again, it was nice to just get this win. We looked really solid against Minnesota. Obviously, like, didn't love what was going on the court when Kofi wasn't there. You hope the plus-minus differential isn't as unbalanced as Robert pointed out, but this team is definitely hitting their stride. We obviously all want Andre Curbelo really back really bad, but we don't feel like we're limping until we do get him back.
Yeah, and
let's talk about,
the one difference of the team last year versus this year is who's on the court for Maryland too, which is Daryl Morsell basically did that Maryland game at home to us just earlier in the season.
We already served our time.
Yeah, we already served our time. That dude is just a pest. But yeah, I mean, that's a great comparison to make because in that game, we were winning by a little bit at halftime and then kind of let that game get away from us. They kind of always, they don't make it easy for us at home. But fortunately, without Mark Turgeon, without Daryl Morsell, we were get the win. Josh, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, let's talk about that, those 10 and a half minutes where Kofi was on the bench in the first half. And I think we're all on the same page here. And if Maddie was on the podcast today, he'd be going on a little bit of one of his rants here, but I'll try to substitute in here for him. When you're up 10 in a basketball game, and let me preface by this, we won the game. Let's be happy that we won the game. But when you're up 10 in a basketball game with a All-American player who has proved season that he has not gotten into foul trouble, there's no point to not just like put the pedal to the metal. Like go, like the auto bench is like known statistically to not be successful. You're lowering the total minutes that a player can potentially play in a game automatically rather than the potential minutes where he might sit out later in a game, right?
Yeah, so I mean, with you.
It's just very frustrating. I think so. We had a Twitter Spaces tonight where we've talked about this at length for 2 hours. So join us after games for some Twitter Spaces. We'll try to do it after each game. But we had a Twitter space where Tyler came on and he was on Press Row tonight after the game. Brad said that he thought at the beginning of the season he wasn't going to sit Trent. He wasn't going to sit DeMonte or sit Kofi with two fouls. And then that had to be like tongue in cheek. He was kind of like where he just did it. It was an auto bench, and we struggled during those minutes. And that's where we're like, oh, wait, what do we have that when Kofi's not on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. At least you like the little bit of self-awareness from Brad being like, hey, I said I was going to do it, and then I didn't do it. Because I'm sure he clearly noticed when Kofi was off the floor, we really struggled. I mean, we've always been anti-auto bench on this podcast. We even had Ken Pomeroy, on the pod to talk about what his philosophy was. And I think what he said was interesting was for guards definitely think auto benching is stupid because they don't typically foul a whole lot. Like,
and it's hard to bait them into
a
foul
too. Exactly. And the one thing that I'll give Brad credit for was he said like there was a time in this game where the refs were really like calling a tight game. So you didn't want to kind of put Kofi in a really tough spot where he's three fouls into halftime. And then is he going to play passive the rest of the game? It's definitely hard to tell, but we would appreciate to have some trust in our guys. And Kofi ends the game with three fouls, which is almost frustrating because he clearly knows how to play without fouling. But ultimately you did end up winning the game. I don't know, Sam, do you have a different opinion about that?
It kind of reminds me of like in football, when you should go for two as soon as you can. So if you don't get it, you kind of know what you're up against, where it's kind of like you could bench Kofi and like maybe he doesn't need to sit a lot of these minutes, which was sort of case in point tonight. Like he very possibly would not have gotten to five fouls if he didn't sit at all. But I think there's something about, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but like when you're in the game, just kind of a paranoia from a coaching perspective, or maybe you just want to like keep everything under control, that just is sort of like an urgency or a habit. Or
yeah, I mean, that's totally right, because like if you had not auto benched him, then you might have been up 7 at halftime, and then with 10 minutes left in the game you're up 20. Mm-hmm. And then that's a different game. And then you can kind of sit him and coast the rest of the way,
even though we didn't sit him when we were up 20 against Minnesota.
No. I mean, he's got to get his points, he's got to get his rebounds, and fortunately even sitting, the past two games, he's only played 28 and 24 minutes and still just had monster numbers. And I think that's...
Do you know what I saw? What sorry, this is a little off subject. 40 minutes from Trent tonight. What a stud.
Yeah.
What a stud.
He's, Trent's probably like the best player who may not have his jersey hung in the rafters. We're one of them in Illinois history.
Or James Augustine.
It was a very bold statement by me.
Yeah.
Trent's definitely up there, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brad's trust in Trent can be shown when, like, I think it was the game after he had his injury. He immediately played Trent like the full second half. He was just like, oh, yeah, I was going to ease him into it. But then it's like, I'm going to trust my guys here. So 40 minutes from Trent tonight, 37 from DeMonte.
To go back to what Sam said to wrap up, I thought you made a perfect point with the football comparison there, going for two. Like when you're down 14, you score your touchdown, you got to go for two now so you don't have to go for two later. It's the same thing. My football comparison, yours is much better, was like when you have a second and long and you run the ball, like a second
that's,
and 12.
No, that's after. A good comparison too. Like you want to know what you're working with on third down or like.
Right, exactly. And it's just a very silly move to like consistently put yourself in a conservative mindset when you have someone that you can probably trust to, in mind, throw the ball, or for me, in your view, get the points. So like that's our one complaint today, and we're complaining on a 12-point victory after a 20-point victory, more than 20-point victory against Minnesota. These are good things to complain about in the beginning, middle part of the Big Ten season. So I think Brad will definitely learn from this and should be good.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are fair complaints and criticisms. I think we're all a little jaded from last year's loss against Loyola, where we're looking to nitpick because we don't want to see this team go on a drought in an important tournament game. And I think a lot of people pointed out, like, hey, what do we have when Kofi's off the floor? Should we be concerned? I mean, it's fortunate. Like, we won a game tonight where Alfonso Plummer went 2 for 8 from three. Jacob Grandison went 1 for 5 from three, and additionally went 1 for 7 from two. So, like, Jacob Grandison, 2 for 12, his worst game of the season. Alfonso Plummer, 2 for 8, one of his worst games of the season. Two of your most consistent shooters both struggled. You still won by 12, and you still didn't even get more than 28 minutes out of Kofi. And one thing that I had kind of said was, like, first of all, hopefully when Kofi's out, like, you won't have quite as an off night from both of those guys, your two most consistent shooters. And additionally, hopefully the next time Kofi goes through foul trouble, you'll have Andre Curbelo on the floor to kind of just like help that sputtering, stagnant offense, because he's just such like a shot creator or a playmaker for other guys, where when you don't have Kofi on there to really like stretch the defense, then it gets a little challenging. And I mean, I even when we were talking through, or when we were watching the game, taking some notes right at the under 12, Trent was 2 for 9, Plummer was 3 for 10, Grandison was 2 for 9. And I was thinking to myself at that point, the game was essentially tied. We were up one and Trent was about to take a free throw. Like, I kind of feel confident because someone's going to get out of their shooting slump and end up being Trent tonight, where it's like, okay, he sees that first three go down, then he hits the another one, which everyone knew was going in, and then we just kind of coasted from there.
Yeah, it's pretty wonderful that you just have these shooters that are at our disposal. I was pretty confident. We discussed it on our Twitter spaces. Like, when today wasn't a game where, like, we got to the halftime, we're down by four, and I was like, oh no, this is another one of those like trappish games where the students aren't in town and we can't really like we're not controlling our own destiny by staying undefeated in the Big Ten, losing the games that we're not supposed to lose. Like, I felt pretty confident because you have the shooters who weren't performing well, who can just turn it on with the flip of the switch. Now, like, being streaky shooters is not what, like, going to lead to success, but if you're shooting the clips that they're shooting. I know Grandison before the game was a 50%+ shooter. Plummer was a +40. Like, they're going to hit their shots. And, like, I mean, Johnny, you say this more than anyone. They're due. They're just
They're due. And, I mean, Grandison, even with a struggle of performance, he's still at 50% on the year. And Plummer is still above. He's at 42% on the year. So, like, those dudes are still elite shooters, even with an off night. But I still like some of the other performances. I thought Coleman was really big in the first half, getting offensive rebounds, like 6 offensive rebounds. He had more offensive rebounds than the entire Maryland team did. And DeMonte just continues to be solid. I mean, if you look at some of the advanced numbers, he had the second best offensive rating on the team and just another 3 offensive rebounds. Like, it's kind of crazy that we're still getting these Damonte Williams and Trent Frazier performances. Like, if I had told you 3 years ago, actually, like, the year that Adam Miller and Andre Curbelo are going to be sophomores, that our two starting guards are going to be Trent Frazier and Damonte Williams, you would have been like, what happened? But, you know, the world's a funny place, and fortunately, Illinois basketball is still able to kind of play really well and be 4-0 in first place in the Big Ten. I mean, first time we've been 4-0, I think they said since 2009, 2010. And
yeah, definitely the first time since Brad has started us 4-0.
Which, actually, that was hilarious. When they went 3-0, that was the first time they'd been 3-0 in the Brad era. And Billy Donovan was apparently watching the Minnesota game and then goes into practice the next day and says to Io, like, why weren't they ever 3-0 when you were there?
Then Io started crying and had to leave practice.
Yeah. Which I guess that's on our next point, which was like, how cool was that to see someone who is probably going to receive MVP votes in the State Farm Center tonight?
I mean, it's beyond cool. For all of us, we our Bulls affection, I mean, drifted through the years. And that's not to say that we're fair weather fans. It was just more there was nothing to root for. But having DeMar there, he's obviously shown, just like Zach has, that they're two just big leaders, and they're coming out to support the rookie that they've only had on their team for 4 months. And on his night where he's getting honored, two hours south, like, Johnny, you, what'd you say you imagine?
Yeah. The game? So we were talking beforehand, and one of our buddies, Cam, was like, oh yeah, they probably carpooled down there. And then I was saying, yeah, maybe Io's dad was like, hey guys, I'm picking you up after practice. We're going to stop at the gas station, get some Gatorade and some snacks, and then we're going down 57. All right. So it's
my viewpoint was different. I was coming at it a whole different thing. After practice, like, the plan was for Io to drive down with his family. DeMar comes in and is like, no, Io, we're going down on the jet.
Yeah, we got the PJ.
We'll get the PJ. We'll bring down. We'll bring it down to Champaign. Come up. It'll be a whole like 3 hour spiel, and that'll be it. We'll show out in Champaign.
Do you guys think DeMar had to show his proof of vaccine upon entry?
No, they've tested positive within the last month.
Well, I mean, it is public information. Yeah, I think for him, but it's just like funny to think about him like walking through the same entrances that we did, and like it's crazy. And I'm really happy that we were able to win the game with Io being honored. That would have been a real like just bad taste in your mouth. So it's really fortunate we were able to come up with a win and just have good vibes all around.
Some thoughts we heard from people on our Twitter space was that they saw DeMar just giggle anytime Kofi got the ball while he was dunking it, and just being a different type of human against these Maryland scrubs. No, not scrubs, but just individuals who couldn't stop Kofi.
On the Twitter spaces we had before the game, I meant to ask this just to rile people up and be like, do you guys think we'd be number one in the nation if we had DeMar? The correct answer is yes. And we're not debating this, but just wanted to.
What? Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Are you sure that the best player on the best team in the Eastern Conference would be the number one team? I don't know.
Positive vibes. I'm feeling.
I'm obviously joking here. Obviously joking.
But Josh, one thing you did say though, like that the scrubs on Maryland, like Wahab was like rated as a really hot, one of the best transfers in the nation coming into Maryland, and same thing with Fats Russell too. So it's kind of crazy. He walks away with no points in that game, and Kofi just absolutely dominated him. So sometimes you're like, okay, this dude's 6'11", 240. Like, he's going to give Kofi some trouble, at least like some resistance. And there was just nothing. And then that dude came in, the backup, Julian Reese, and does the dunk and should have gotten teed up. We've seen so much little get teed up. Trent Frazier said cash. Yeah. But I mean, it just speaks to like Kofi's evolution and his ability to pretty much dominate anyone if he's being single teamed. And if he's not, he's able to get the ball. Like tonight, again, one turnover. And when you have when you score 23 points and get 18 rebounds and turn the ball over once, like that's pretty insane. And continues to shoot free throws at a decent rate. Like, I'll take a 5-for-8 night from Kofi. Like, the dude's hands are massive, and 5-for-8, we'll take that.
Yeah, I don't think we'll have it, no offense to I know we lost to Marquette, but like in the Big East, he's not going up against Kofi Coburn every single night, and that's what the Big Ten's all about. And he's going to have some tough nights coming in the Big Ten if that's how he's going to perform.
Yeah, I mean, he's when you're going up against an All-American, it's a little different. But I thought Wahab went to like Utah State or something like that, but. Georgetown.
Utah State's in the Big East too, aren't they?
What?
Yeah. I said Utah State's in the Big East.
Yeah.
Is that a joke from season one of our
podcast?
What a throwback.
Yes. Good times.
All right, so looking ahead a little bit, unless we want to revisit anything more on the Minnesota and or Maryland game.
Not.
I'm just going to look ahead. This Nebraska game looks very familiar on the schedule. Let's just say that at Nebraska, let's just call it a trap. Last year we had to go in there. It was an overtime. We won by five. It took some late regular time, like heroics from Io to get us back into the game and keep us in it. But this looks pretty familiar. I'm really hoping that they know what happened last year and are able just to put the pedal on the metal. I saw some stats earlier today, and the most efficient teams in the Big Ten right now in Big Ten play are in order Illinois, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and then Ohio State. The three teams that are not Illinois, they've all played Nebraska. So this should be a very dominating win because Nebraska is by far the lowest as well. So there should be no excuses here, and we should see another coast victory like we did against Minnesota and like we saw in the second half of this game.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of nervous. Like you talked about, it reminds us of that game last year where we needed Io to bail us out in the end of regulation and in overtime to really just, okay, hopefully Kofi can kind of do that thing, but Nebraska played Ohio State tough.
They played a lot of teams
tough. Yeah, they've played
but
Michigan
the teams
State.
Are still like performing at a very efficient level because there was no defense played in that game.
So just get stops. I guess that's all we need to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys believe in like we have Michigan and Purdue after? Are you guys believers in like they're looking ahead theory, or do you guys think that's like baloney in sports?
It's definitely not baloney in sports, but I don't know if like this case it applies because I don't know. You just had like a weird stretch going with the COVID pause, and then you had like the two games in 3 days. So I don't know. I think this team will kind of just benefit from having a practice, regular game plan, and then having a road game, which they seem to usually kind of rise to the occasion for. So I think that almost is good ahead of a pretty big homestand coming. So I don't think they're really looking ahead, and hopefully
I'm gonna sound awfully familiar here. They're 18 to 22 year olds. They could obviously look ahead. They're just kids, so they could do that. Does that sound like our friend Maddie, or did I do his impersonation wrong?
No, that's exactly what he would say. But fortunately, we do have a 23-year-old in Jacob Grandison. I think Trent Frazier, 23. I think DeMonte might be only counterpoint there. But, I mean, yeah, like in an ideal world, this Nebraska game is really like a clean sheet where you can maybe get some of your freshmen in and kind of save your legs for the big kind of stretch here with Michigan and Purdue, which meanwhile, like Michigan has Michigan State at home, and then they're playing Purdue right before us. So like they could really be coming in, like the wheels are kind of off. They could be 1-4, potentially 1-5 after our game. So like I almost am rooting for a Michigan win against Michigan State, then like a blowout against Purdue. And then they come here and we take care of business.
Yeah,
you talked a lot about banking wins, and I'm a big proponent of we still control our own destiny. We gotta just have other teams lose, but if we still control our own destiny.
I mean, yeah, that's huge. But I mean, when you're undefeated, I guess you always control your own destiny. I mean,
exactly.
I'll be honest. I've thought about it. I'm like, okay, we're 4-0 right now. If you go 10-6 the rest of the way, 14-6 is probably like a top 4 Big Ten finish. So go 11-5 and you're 15-5.
Oh, yeah,
and
easy,
then,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I'm looking ahead of the schedule. Hopefully these guys aren't, because realistically, you still have a game against Nebraska, two more against Northwestern, and you still have Rutgers on your schedule. You still have got a lot of games left against some of the bottom tiers, like Penn State. Like,
another Maryland game.
Yeah, like, it's not that hard to get some wins and really look at it.
This sounds like something we're going to laugh at.
Yeah,
this
season. Seriously. Old takes exposed.
But, yeah, hopefully it's a good transition to Michigan and Purdue. All right, so last but not least, obviously it was Io night tonight. We were not going to not talk about him. So I guess, what do you guys want to do? Do we want to say like our favorite Io memories, your thoughts on, like, someone in the Twitter spaces, I think it was actually Dan, said he thought like raising the number was a little early, which, I mean, obviously it was going to happen anyways, but do you guys have any thoughts on tonight or Io's legacy?
I mean, got so many thoughts. I mean, it's hard to say with, like, did they raise it too early? I mean, there's always a bunch of scheduling logistical things. Yeah. And you got another banner to raise next year with Kofi. So like, can't really question anything about that. What I will say is, I think, yeah, we should definitely go through our favorite memories. It's so hard to pick one. I think for me, this might be a little bit of a random one, but I think my favorite memory might be in 2020, that Penn State game when he came back after the return after the Michigan State injury, where that was a game too, where you see Pat Chambers say, which way does 11 go? Right, right. The entire game, he keeps telling his guys, Io goes right. Io, obviously not watching the game, has no idea this is happening, but in the critical moment of the game, goes left, hits a floater, hits a game winner, and it just kind of like all sunk in. Like, we kind of thought our season was derailed with him getting injured. Now it's back on track. We're going to make the tournament. Spoiler alert, we don't make the tournament because of COVID, but we would have made the tournament and kind of just like re-legitimized Illinois basketball. And that moment, along with him coming back after his broken nose concussion, when you think about, like, there's so much discourse these days about how players opt out for their financial stability, or they opt out because they've shown enough tape and now they just want to move on to the pros. Like, Io had opportunities both his sophomore year and his junior year of saying, like, I've done enough on film where I can be a draft pick. And he was like, you know what? Like, I don't care. I want to play because I love my team and I love this. Like, I love my guys. I love this school. And I just want to be the guy at Illinois. So I just will always appreciate him for that.
I always think about, so this was when he committed, was our senior year. Mm-hmm. And so that night, my parents are in town. I remember it vividly because my dad was like, all right, dinner's at like 7 o'clock or whatever. And I was like taking his time at the Jordan store. And I'm just like, all right, let's go. Hurry up this commitment. We've been there many of times where just the commits just don't commit on time. And I was like, I know this is going to be the guy, dad. Like, let me just watch the commitment video. And I did, and it was worth it. And I was just like the whole time during dinner, I was on Twitter just looking at like, dang, this kid just committed to us. So why did he choose us? I know he like had offers to Wake or Kansas. Like he chose Illinois. It's his own state. So I always think about that memory. My favorite, like, I'm trying to do this random memory thing that you just came up with, Johnny, where it's just like you got to pull out one of these memories that aren't the go-to ones, like the Michigan or the Wisconsin game. And for me, it's just think about last year's Big Ten conference tournament in the semifinals. Io goes 18-9-7. It was just a underrated dominating performance. The team was dominating at that time. Curbelo was at his peak. Kofi was at his peak, but pretty solid game all around. And you just know that he was the factor the whole time. You just had those consistent performances night in, night out in the Big Ten regular season and conference tournament.
Yeah, I mean, he had that dunk too to really seal that game, which was insane. I mean, he was just so consistent. That's what was cool about his junior year was just night in, night out. You were just had an alpha on your team who's going to just continually put up 20. But Sam, what was your favorite
Before I get to mine, I just had a crazy epiphany. Danny Manning, who was coaching Maryland tonight, was who recruited him
at Wake Forest. Forest. That's
so
really
it's got to be so crazy for Danny Manning to be seeing the guy he missed out on getting his jersey raised at Illinois. Like, that's got to be such an insanely bad feeling. I don't know how I just had that epiphany. Like, that never occurred to me.
People forget that Danny Manning, the interim head coach.
Okay, yeah, we can figure out the semantics of that tweet later, but it's crazy. And it's crazy too. You know, Mark Turgeon was an assistant on Danny Manning's like teams when he was a player. Like, Mark Turgeon was an assistant at Kansas when Danny Manning like won the National Player of the Year. So a lot of interesting stuff with Danny Manning.
But anyways, I guess my favorite IM memory, I don't know if this is my favorite, but I feel like the buzzer beater against Michigan over Xavier Simpson. We were at a big Illini watch party at a bar right outside Wrigley. We'd had a terrible non-conference. We started off second in the Big Ten. I was like, everyone's got to stop. Like, obviously we're not staying here, but then we did. And that's, I think, like, for me, along with it just being like a super fun moment, that was kind of like when I felt like it was sort of cemented that we were actually going to make a legit top 25, top 15 run.
And yeah, I mean, he carried us in that game. Yeah. And it's funny too, because he did kind of just change your mindset over the span of a few weeks, because I remember the two of us watching that Wisconsin game on the couch, and which was like a couple weeks before, we were just in disbelief. We're like, when is an Illinois team come back? Like, they were down 6 points with 4 minutes left. Alan Griffin hits a couple threes and like just continue to make shot after shot. Like, it just didn't happen. And it seemed almost like a joke.
Like, it felt like shenanigans.
Yeah. We're just like laughing. Like, okay, I was going to get a layup. Then he's going to do the Jordan crossover. It's like, wow, we really just beat Wisconsin in the Kohl Center. But it didn't seem like it was just like, oh yeah, now we're just going to do that to every team. It was like, oh yeah, that was a funny kind of fever dream. But then that Michigan game, it's like, wow, we have a dude who's just special. And here's another moment that I think of, is a couple of like off the court moments. The two videos that IO made were just incredible. Both. So let me ask you guys this. Which video do you prefer? The sophomore year, the unfinished business one, or the junior year? Now we got to get that national championship.
Got to go junior year.
Oh, you think junior year?
Yeah. We were. Do you remember like our reaction when we're like, IO is coming back?
We were freaking out. I always thought the other, I was like, this video is not as good as the other one.
Yeah, I think it's weird. I loved, like, if I had to go with my gut, I would say the sophomore year one. The video quality was just amazing. And, like, the whole unfinished business, like, I could almost go word for word on that entire video where he's talking about, like, the Orange Crush is ready to dance. Illinois needs to dance. And it's like, holy shit, like, this guy's going to do it. And, like, you look back at the unfinished business after he made that unfinished business video, Illinois has the best record in the Big Ten by a long shot in this year, last year, in 2019, 2020. But what was crazy about the second video was, like, it was really cool in the moment. Obviously, you're freaking out because you're like, wow, we have a potential All-American coming back. But he also, like, called his shot multiple times. Yeah, we didn't win a national championship. But he's like, Big Ten championship. Okay, we pretty much did that.
Yes, we did.
And then it was like Bob Cousy Award. He did that. Like, it's almost like eerie. Like, this dude called a shot multiple times, and it's pretty insane.
I think my favorite, it's neither of these two, but my favorite video of IO is it was going into, I think it was the 2020, no, it was the 2019 season. It was his sophomore year, obviously. So, 2019. Am I wrong?
Yeah, 2019, 2020. Yeah.
So it was him and Trent doing like the pump up video before the first game of the season, and then you see like he goes big time shots from Eddie, Frank, and then they show the clip of this won't end well for Illinois. And then Io just gives that little giggle. Oh, that's
yeah. Yeah, that one was great. I mean, that was an amazing moment, too. It was when we stormed the court at Michigan State. That was incredible. Yeah,
Sam, you did that, right?
I did think you were going to use that as your favorite moment, so I was going to make like an annoying comment, but you kind of threw me off.
Josh, yeah. I thought you were going to talk about how in the pregame video, when Io ripped off the jersey, that was also hilarious. You know what I'm talking? He rips off a shirt in that pregame video, yeah. And it was very impressive. It's funny to think of like Io just playing with Adonis De La Rosa and Anthony Higgs and all those dudes, and now he's just teammates. Yeah, and now he's just teammates with DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, and like Lonzo Ball, and those guys love him. Like, it says a lot that DeMar DeRozan would drive down 2.5 hours in his 7-degree day to go watch Illinois basketball play. And hey, maybe he's recruiting Kofi Coburn to come down next year. But I think the last thing when talking about Io and the appreciation for him is, I guess, where he ranks all time. And people were talking about like choosing your favorite kid between him and Kofi. And I think there was a pretty unanimous decision between the three of us, if you guys want to elaborate on that.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, no, I think we all agreed. Go ahead, Sam.
Io just changed the program. It was like the right place, right time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... It's different when you're an in-state kid who you've seen the ups and downs of this program, and you decide, you know what, like... Despite the fact that this team hasn't made the tournament in 5 years, like, I want to be the one who turns it around. And that was something that he talked about in that second year video. He's like, I committed to Coach Underwood to turn the Illinois program around. Like, as amazing as Kofi has been, and he's been one of the best players in Illinois history, it's just a little different with like the intangible factor of Io just wanting to turn this program around as an in-state kid. And not as a slight to Kofi, but like Kofi was in the transfer portal at one point. Like, he obviously loves Illinois, but it's just different with Io. Like, he believed in us when no one else did. And he didn't single-handedly turn the program around. But if he doesn't make that decision, we're not talking here today, and we might be in a middling Big Ten program.
Without Io, there's no Kofi.
Yeah. Like,
and without Io staying for 3 years, there's no Kofi staying for 3 years. Like, it's not even a chicken and egg here. It's like your first son versus your second son.
Building a house where it's like you can't have a second floor unless you have the first floor. And Io is the first floor. So as great as the second floor is with double-doubles and insane blocks, and Kofi honestly might have a better performance, and Kofi might – take us to a Final Four, and I'll still
be
like, Io's my guy.
Might have like a whole movie theater. Yeah. Like, it might have a movie theater that has banners. Multiple.
Yeah. We would love that. We would absolutely love that. But, I mean, it's just, we're just so fortunate thinking back like 5 years ago when we were in school, when you just didn't have the same hope. And fortunately, we love to see our guy Malcolm Hill, NBA player, former guest on the podcast, be thriving, but Illinois basketball is at another level, and we have Io to thank, we have Kofi to thank, and we have Brad Underwood to thank.
That sounds like a good note to finish on. A win in that.
Yeah. Let's go get Nebraska, and everyone thank the lucky stars that Io DeSumo picked Illinois. IOL.